Good morning. This is KBBI Homer AM 890. The time is 9:01 a.m. and you are tuned to the coffee table. I'm Kathleen Gustafson. Candidates for mayor of Homer are in the studio this morning, socially distanced, far apart, all wearing masks, because that's how we do it here. Incumbent Mayor Ken Kastner, thank you for being here and welcome.
Thank you for having us.
And challenger, Homer City Council Member Donna Ederhold. Good morning.
Good morning.
So I would like to start, for the benefit of the six people in town who don't know you, but those are the important people to reach, so we're doing it. Because I would like for, let's start with Donna Ederhold. We'll go in alphabetical order. Can you introduce yourself and give some idea of your qualifications to be mayor of Homer?
Good morning. Donna Robertson Ederhold. I'm running for mayor. And I have been on the Homer City Council for 5 years. See this as an opportunity to step into a new role. And I'm a wildlife biologist by training. And as part of my recent career, I had the opportunity to be a part of the Alaska Salmon Fellows program through the Alaska Humanities Forum. And it's a really interesting leadership program. Looks at leadership from a completely different perspective than, you know, what I've thought of as leadership programs in the past. And I gained, I gained a lot. It was really a life-changing experience for me in looking at decision-making or learning from a very collaborative perspective and a very deep listening. And so I think that's a skill that I now would bring to the mayor's office.
And why do you want to sit in the mayor's chair?
Why do I want to sit in the mayor's chair? I see an opportunity to work with our new city manager really as a very collaborative way and kind of think about some visioning for where we want to be in Homer in the future and how we're going to get there.
Thanks. Incumbent Mayor Ken Kastner, same question to you. If you could briefly introduce yourself, talk about your qualifications for mayor and why you want to run for re-election, or why you are running.
Well, I am running for re-election. Yeah. I guess in a sentence, I'm running for re-election because I didn't get finished what I had hoped to in the two-year term. There were a couple of things that came along that sucked up a lot of time, including the pandemic. I've lived here for 48 years. I've done a lot of things, served on a lot of boards, started a lot of things that have helped the community over time. Mostly stayed away from politics, except as a person that would appear at city council members or meetings and urge some corrective courses. I have formerly been registered with the Security and Exchange Commission in the state of Alaska as an investment advisor, and I'm a numbers guy. And I think one of the Achilles heel of progressive moving forward as a first-class city has been in the realm of finance. And a lot of the things that I've worked on, the two-year budget, corrections to closing out capital projects, the water and sewer fund manipulations and cohabitation with another fund that had nothing to do with capital projects.
Yeah, you found an error. You found things that weren't where they were supposed to be or were just forgotten about, sitting in a...
I'm not sure if they're forgotten about, but it's a subject that we should probably touch on in a little bit of depth. But anyway, to kind of stay equal with Donna here, that's why I want another term, is that I have unfinished business to do on the financial end of things. And I think it's really important to try and get that straightened out before we embark on a $120 million port expansion.
Okay, thanks for that. The number to call if you have questions is 235-7721, or, and this may be the better option, you can email your questions to info@kbbi.org, and Matt is standing by. to take your questions, and we'll bring them into the studio. But also, let's give it a try. Somebody call 235-7721 and see if our phone system works. We've been having some technical difficulties today. Now, but I have gotten some questions ahead of time, and so I'm going to go through those. Thanks to Jen. Thanks to Jack, who emailed questions in and called questions in ahead of time. First, this one we're going to kind of have to unpack. So it was directed to Donna. I've noticed you want to fund expensive studies for further information, the seawall study, parking on the spit, for example. However, it seems like the city already knows the answers to the studies before they begin. Therefore, it seems like a waste of money. Are you comfortable being a decision maker, or do you prefer to pass the buck? Now, there are a lot of assumptions in that question, so let's take it from the back, or I will go top down. Funding studies like the seawall and parking on the spit, I'm pretty sure that work on that the issue of the seawall predates both of your political involvement. It's been going on a very long time. And parking on the spit. So what about the assumption that the city already knows the answers to the studies before they begin, and it's a waste of money? Because can you start with that?
Sure. So just to make it, first of all, to make it clear, the property owners along the seawall are paying for most of that work. The city pays for the portion where the city owns property along that seawall. So it's a private seawall, basically. And the city has the permit to do the work, and so does the repairs along the seawall for the property owners and for the portions that the city owns. The seawall has gotten to a point where it is in bad shape, and a winter storm has the potential to cause the wall to fail. And so we needed to take action. In order to take action, you need to know what action you need to take and how much it's going to cost. And so the city council agreed to hiring a consultant, which has been HDR, to look at what are the options for a better corrective action for the seawall. And then the property owners met and said, this is the option that we like based on its ability to correct to, or to have a long-term solution for the wall that is most cost-effective. Once that happened, then we needed to narrow in on that and understand this armor rock, how much armor rock needs to go in, where does it need to be placed, and how much is, and what is that going to cost? And so that's where we are now. We are working in a direction of nailing down exactly what's going to happen. And at the same time, there is a process with the property owners to determine what that special assessment district is going to look like, because they're going to be the ones paying the bulk of the cost for this Armor Rock project. So there's several things moving forward together to get us to a solution that hopefully will be a longer-term corrective action for that seawall.
Thank you. And Mayor Kastner, would you like to weigh in on the seawall and studies
very,
in general?
Very, very briefly. First of all, it doesn't matter who's paying for it. Is it well-spent money? So that's the first if-then sort of a thing. And I think that Donna correctly lays out the options. But the people who are ultimately going to pay for the bulk of those costs have to be given some options to look at. And I think that cost of remedy is one of the very is going to be a driving force here. So do you come up with a $5 million solution, or can you come up with a $1 million solution? And that needs to be determined. So the study as a cost finder and determiner, and as an engineering option is appropriate.
Right, and because you can't just call someone, get an estimate, and do the work. Do you do no bid contracts where...
Do I?
Yeah.
That's what I do for a living.
Yeah, I guess so. Now, Catherine is on the line, so let's... Whoa, I'm going to say... Catherine is not on the line. Catherine, if you want to try one more time, or just call if perhaps you got disconnected, or you could call in and Matt will write your question down and bring it in. Either way, I would love to try to get someone on air, but it looks like I lost Catherine. But back to the question of parking on the spit. It's the same general question in terms of what did the study show you and what did you learn from the study? You want to start, Donna? And
well, then we'll... The study got delayed until next year because this year was not going to be a typical year that would give us good information to be able to make decisions. So the whole idea is that we've been having trouble with parking on the spit for a number of years. We've been having people park on the side of the road. It gets really dangerous when you have people camping and trying to run across the road between the cars. There's a lot of cyclists and pedestrians that are out there, and we need to make it safe for everybody. So how do we, when the spit is this very popular area to be during the summer, how do we accommodate everybody? We have people who work out there who are working on boats, and they need to be able to consistently be able to find parking. We have visitors who are coming in who want to be able to park. And how do we accommodate all of those people effectively? And so that's really what we want to get out of a study, to look at how many people are trying to park, what are the potential solutions. So it's not giving the decision to somebody else, because the city council is ultimately the decision maker, but we need good information to be able to make a decision.
Anything to add to that, Mayor Kastner?
Yeah, it's not a study that I'm really all that enthusiastic about. It's one of those things that, like looking at your watch and telling you what time it is. I think that we have, you know, a Port and Harbor Commission that has an awful lot of information. We have a Port and Harbor staff that has a ton of information, and it's a matter of just starting to piecemeal in some solutions. I don't think that there's going to be a universal sort of a solution that any consultant will come up with, just options. And again, the city council is going to have to wrestle with all those options.
And that brings us to the third part of this question, which I really wanted. I'm glad that Jen asked this question. The question is, are you comfortable being a decision maker, or do you prefer to pass the buck? And I'm going to start, because what I really want to do with this question is make it a question to both of you. I'll begin with Ken this time about, I'm sorry, Mayor Kastner this time, about the role of the mayor in Homer and how that has changed, and if anything, like if the more should happen, if there should be more changes, if things should go back. But anyway, can you start with what you see the role of the mayor in Homer? Because you made some changes became mayor.
I mean, some slight changes.
Right.
Basically, the primary role, the one thing that state law says that a mayor has to do is preside. So as the presiding officer and kind of the mouthpiece for the city, the mayor presides over the city council meetings and tries to provide some leadership there in order to keep a cohesive group working together. And I pretty much have insisted that the group has to come up with four votes in order to move anything through. And that was the reason I said that I wasn't going to break ties. So they had to find some consensus. And the council has, in the last 2 years, reached consensus on most every item. So that part of the diabolical plan has worked.
Well, there were two times when you did decide to vote and exercise your right to vote as mayor.
The first time I exercised my right to vote, but I announced ahead of time that I was sponsoring the resolution and that my yes vote was sitting on the table. And I've sponsored a bunch of things, and in every case, the council now is aware that my yes vote is sitting on the table.
So that's the difference.
Right. And the second time I broke a tie was early on in my mayorship where it was a first reading. So it was something that was coming up for a second reading, and it was a 3-3 tie. And I just felt like, well, this is a procedural thing, and I think it should go to public hearing. I think the public should have an opportunity. So I broke the tie, and I had such a negative reaction that I just said, okay, things are going to die on first reading then, because they can't get it through the first reading to a second reading. So those are the two times.
Okay. And Donna, can you talk about, Councilmember Adderhold, I should say, can you talk about your view of the role of mayor and if anything would change? Like, are there changes you would make to the way that business is conducted as mayor?
Well, you know, Mayor Kastner has made some decisions about how he operates as mayor, and you know, I respect his decisions. That hasn't actually changed the role of the mayor. So it, to me, you know, the mayor is the presiding officer, and how you run meetings can have a big influence on the discussion that occurs at the table, and you know, potentially the outcome of those discussions. I would break a tie. I would bring forward recognitions and proclamations. I would also pass the gavel if I have something that I want to speak to, which I think it is best for the mayor to preside and allow the council to have discussion. But if the mayor does have something valid and important to input to that they pass the gavel so that they're held accountable, the mayor is held accountable for the amount of time that they're speaking. Because that's really one of the points of having the gavel, is to be able to say, okay, you know, you've made your point, we need to move on to somebody else now.
Yeah, Mayor Cushing, former Mayor Jack Cushing called with pretty much that question, so I'll bring it up. What does each candidate feel about the importance of passing the gavel in order to give opinion or influence the vote? And I feel like that you've just put your position out there. Is there anything else you want to say about that now that I've phrased the question?
Well, yeah, I would pass the gavel, but to continue answering your other question, the other piece is of being the mayor is really kind of working in partnership with the city manager. Is, you know, this is, we have a city manager form of government. The city manager is the person running day-to-day operations in the city. And so it's the ability to have a partnership, as I said, towards, you know, what do we want Homer to look like in the future? How are we going to get there? And working with the council to do that.
Okay, Mayor Kastner?
Okay, well, the passing the gavel is a ceremonial thing. It's not found in state law or anything like that. State law says that I may take part in discussions. And so occasionally I do take part in discussions, but only after the council has spoken. When they're done, and usually only when somebody asks for my opinion. So, I mean, once in a while I do weigh in, but I think that you cannot preside, and you can't be a process person and a product person at the same time. You're either one or the other. So I'm sitting at the head of the table as a process person, and the council sitting at the side of the table as a product deciders. If I start getting involved in product, I stop doing process. And so I pretty much stay out of the mix on most of these things.
Right, unless you've sponsored.
Well, if I sponsor it, then I'm going to have something to say, because I need to be able to say something about it. But usually I look for a co-sponsor on the council to present the argument.
Thank you. So I still haven't heard back from Catherine. Catherine, if you want to try calling back in, we would love to get your question, or you can email it to info@kbbi.org, or you can just call 235-7721 and state your question, and Matt will write it down and send it into the air studio. And that goes for everybody, not just Catherine. We really want to hear your questions. Now, I want to move on to CARES Act funding, because I have a question about voting. Well, it says, but there's some clarifications that need to be made. Recently, you voted against giving more CARES money to individual households in Homer. CARES money to businesses and nonprofits are great, but it doesn't help individual households. This money could have helped the myriad costs of residents that residents are facing today. So I'll start with Ken and then we'll go through. But so with regard to CARE,
That's not what the council did. Right. I mean, let me just put it that way. There was a motion to take money from ESBERG, which was the program for small businesses, which has not been spent out yet, and move it over into the program for individual homes. And that failed 3-3. But the reason for doing that is because nothing is really settled out on how all this money is being allocated. And we're getting over $2 million now from the borough, which can go to a variety of places. So the options, I think all the council did was just keep their options open, but not deplete ESBERG. Because, I mean, I'm hopeful that, on the 28th, I'll have a resolution there to expand ESBERG into a phase two. And I want to make sure that the money is there. But that's what happened. They didn't deny anything to the individuals. They just left options open. The money is still there to be added to if the council wants to do it. So in fairness, that's what happened.
Thank you. And Councilmember Adderhold, can you explain your vote? Why are you along the same lines as Mayor Kastner when he's talking about how the funding is in place? And
oh yeah, I completely agree with Mayor Kastner on that point. I do want to explain that when we learned that we were going to get CARES Act funding, we talked about how are we going to distribute it into the community, and we started with the small business program, that was the first one that was put in place. And then we had a couple of work sessions with council to discuss, okay, how are we going to spend the rest of the funds? How are we going to get those into the community? And because we have a meeting gap in July, it kind of took a little longer to get those in place. Those should be coming out. We passed those in August. And they include a program for households and individuals, a program for nonprofits, a program for childcare service providers, and a separate category for organizations that provide social service services. Social services. And so those are getting ready to go live at any time now. And so those funds will be available. We definitely wanted to get CARES Act funds to households and individuals. That was definitely a big part of our conversation, was making sure we got funds out to them. Once all of these are live and we start to see how the program spending is going, then we can start to make adjustments. And as Mayor Kastner said, we also have some additional funds coming from the borough. And I haven't seen Mayor Kastner's proposal yet for how to use those funds, but I am interested in, what do we do next, particularly for small businesses, because with the amount of money that we received from the state, what we allocated for small businesses was quite a bit lower than the borough decided, and so I'm definitely looking to how do we increase that to make it a little bit, level that playing field a little bit.
So I'm going to switch the order again this time. I do have a question. Can you talk about work through the council that you have sponsored and brought through? Because council can be a very slow process. I mean, the process is in place, but maybe could you point to work that you've done, that you've sponsored, and talk about its progress through the council?
Oh, man, I've brought forward quite a number of things.
Well, are there any in particular you would want voters to know about or remind voters of?
Well, something that's still in play that I've championed is this conundrum of the HERC, the Homer Education and Recreation Complex, and a new facility for a multi-use community center. And it's a difficult problem, and it's been something that I've been dealing with since I've been on council, and I've sponsored several things to move us forward. The task force for evaluating next steps for the HERC building, taking next steps to, for the demolition study to figure out what that would look like, how much money it would cost to demolish the building versus bringing it up to code so that it could be used. And then, if we're going to demolish the building, we need something to replace those services and add additional services. And now with COVID time and everything else, that's kind of sitting out there. We don't know what our finances are going to look like to be able to move forward. But
or in what ways we're going to be gathering in the next few years.
Exactly.